together and celebrate a great day in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Let's pray for Cherie. She has extremely high blood pressure today. The other day, my wife had extremely high blood pressure. It was high enough that if it had stayed there, we would have made a quick trip to the ER because it was above what would be considered stroke level. And when you are our age and you get blood pressure that high, and Brother Taylor knows what that feels like, and recently had an episode, sometimes that occurs. God is still on the throne. He still answers prayer. And we're thankful for the normal blood pressure. Part of it was equipment situations, but more of it was God's intervention. And so we were able to not go to the hospital and relax and enjoy our day that the devil wanted to mess up, but he lost again.
Amen.
And he will continue to lose.
Amen.
As long as we claim the victory that is ours in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
In his finished work at the cross. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just pray today that you will touch Cherie right now. Father, not only that you will just bring the blood pressure down, but any stress that has been layered into her life, Lord, that that stress would be alleviated right now and replaced with a peace that settles the nerves and gives rest for the mind and the soul. In the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, we will give you the praise for it. She will give you the praise for it. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated for a few moments. Did anyone pull up that scripture? Brother Jimmy's got a... You got it. She's got it right here. And I want both of you to read it because there's different translations.
Is it the whole chapter?
Okay. Would you speak that out to us?
What verse 16? What?
34 and 35. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 34 and 35. This is the challenge to us today.
Praise God. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise.
And glory in thy praise. Is that how it reads to yours? Glory in thy praise. King James Version.
Amen.
Other versions will say triumph in thy praise. And I like the triumph because glory in his praise means we boast in him. It's not brag, just, you know, my dog's better than your dog type of bragging. It's boasting in the Lord. If any man glory, the New Testament says, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God.
Amen.
Paul said, I will glory in the cross. I'll boast in the cross,
Amen.
Whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified unto me.
Amen.
God wants us to triumph in his praise. Now, there's a reverential praise that is just honoring him, bowing before him in deep reverence. It's really exhibiting in worship the fear of the Lord. First time I saw the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, I saw this dread of God. I remember my former pastor who fell away from the Lord and felt like he was no more worthy to not only be a minister of the gospel, but he wasn't worthy to be a child of God. He felt like he had failed and God would just reject him because he had all of this knowledge, all of this anointing, had preached to others, and yet his self-watch while trying to guide others on the right path and teach others how to overcome. He lost sight of his own need, and that's something everyone can do if we're not cautioned by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen carefully. He said, you know, my what had imprinted my mind until I began to understand, appreciate, and appropriate the grace of God was in an old family Bible when I was a child. When I was about 10 or 11, he said, I opened it up to the first page, Genesis, and there was a picture of an angry God driving Adam and Eve out of Eden. And he said, that imprinted me. This is how God feels about me. I have sinned. I have failed. He is angry, and he wants to harm me. He just wants, not really hurt me so much as he doesn't want anything to do with me. He left the ministry. He started working for Eckerd Drugstore. He became a manager. He went back to one of his weaknesses before he got saved, and he started smoking a big black cigar. And to see my former pastor, who had saw the power of God in the church where I was healed of leukemia. Brother and Sister Hodges attended that church, the Tampa Revival Center. You know how many services they had a week? Seven. Oh, I know, it's unthinkable. Oh, my Lord. 7 days a week in church. Well, if people are getting healed, delivered, set free, and saved, you're afraid to stay home, you're going to miss something. Amen. Now, if it's just a religious ritual routine, hurry up, get in so we can hurry, get out and have some fun, then that's a whole different story. Right, but if God is moving, and God was moving, and that's why he felt so terrible, because in the middle of this kind of supernatural move of God, he went off the rails. He backslid. He gave up on himself and gave up on God because he didn't understand God's grace. Now let me tell you something about his anger. It's called the wrath of God, and it means justifiable anger. He's not losing his temper. He's expressing his justice against sin and sinners and all the heartache and heartbreak that sin has caused. He's going to pour it out. When the cup of his indignation is full, he pours it out during the tribulation period. And he pours it out till the last drop. And it's called the wrath of God. Don't think that the wrath of God cancels the goodness of God. Amen. They're held in tension, but they're held in perfect balance. Perfect balance. The Bible said until anyone gets saved, the wrath of God, the justifiable anger, rests upon them. It's a day and night, 24-hour thing. Yeah. And we must be reconciled unto him. Right. But because of his goodness, because of his mercy, because of his grace, he offers us a way to be reconciled unto him. We don't deserve it. We deserve justice. My cousin was an Olin Mills photographer. And, you know, I think of him often because they followed him from Plant City where he was photographing. There used to be a nice store there that we couldn't afford, and that's where he was taking pictures, which we couldn't afford that either. We just had a Kodak, old Kodak camera, whatever we had.
He did ours for nothing.
Yeah, he did ours for nothing. Allen, I mean. And we got that. It still says Olin Mills on it. Wow. But he collected money, cash, from people, and people followed him, trying to run him off the road and rob him when he started home. And I thought about photographers, but it came to my mind, a story. It was just a story about a photographer. Came into town like Olin Mills. He's taking pictures of people. And a lady come in, and she wasn't beautiful. She was not even homely. She was way below homely. One might say she was ugly. I would not say that, but the whole town thought she was, you know, there was just some flaw. And really, it's not the outside that matters, it's the inside. Amen. But people look at the outside before they figure out what's on the inside. Anyway, she came to get her photograph because she thought that she was just beautiful. And so she came, fixed up as best she could, but anyway, she came and he took her pictures and he took a bunch of them. She wanted a bunch of them to send to people. And after he got through, he kept bringing her pictures to show that he took. Well, she looked at them all and she said, "Look, I don't like this. I don't like that one. I don't like this one. I don't even like the other one." She said, "None of these pictures do me justice." By that time, he was exasperated. And he said, "Ma'am, you do not need justice. You need mercy." How many know we don't need justice? If we got our just desserts, if we got what we deserved, we would be still under the wrath of God and we would receive the judgment of God. But God, with His great love wherewith He loved us, He has sent His Son to die in our place, showing us mercy, granting us grace. Praise the Lord. I, for one, am so glad that tension between His mercy and His wrath, that Jesus came to make that balance in our behalf. Yeah. He tempted in our behalf. And we can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgotten. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So God wants us to praise Him. Amen. When we feel like it. And praise Him when we don't. You say, "Well, what have I got to praise Him for? It's been the worst year, worst week, worst day of my life." How about the cross? Amen. Don't ever let your bad day, Amen. Your bad feeling, Amen. Your depression, whatever you're going through, cancel your praise for Him. Amen. 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 He's gathered us among the heathen, among the nations around us, that we might give thanks unto His name and that we might triumph in His praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Him. I got to commend my wife, since we're talking about her a little bit today, especially when she came out from under Open Heart, and when they have to pop your ribs and pull you open like that, and then they spread them. They spread your ribs. They have to cut you open, spread the ribs, and they have to get in there and reroute three veins from her leg that they took out of her leg already, and they replaced the clogged ones, not with stents. It was past the stent stage. And they rerouted it to her heart. Close you back up, staple it together, and when you come out from under the anesthesia, they have given you pain medication. But that doesn't mean there's no pain. You're conscious. You can't have any more because they would overdose you on medication. Some people, they give a pump. What's the name of the good stuff?
Morphine.
That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Morphine. They... It'll be all right. Amen. Give me morphine. More. You know, I guess the name of it's fiend, and everybody wants more. That's where it got its name.
Yeah.
Amen. Morphine. And they give you this thing to give yourself. Honey, if it's up to me, I'm not into pain. I have a low pain threshold. I would be pumping that sucker. It's a good thing you can't OD on it. It just won't let you get any more.
Yeah.
Wait till you feel you can't take it and then pump it. I don't want you not take it. She woke up in pain. And I saw the pain and she expressed she was in pain. And I said, "Honey, if there's any way I could, I honestly would trade places with you." I would. Call me liar all you want to. I would have done it there because thou had such compassion on what she was feeling. I thought I'd take it an hour, let her come back, and we'd switch off. I ain't going to say I'd take it forever. I just we'd switch off.
Amen.
Pamela, time is up. She said, Bobby, get back here. Time is up. I'd take the pain. But what impressed me was what came out of her spirit. What she said. Because when I prayed for her for the pain, I said, Jesus, she needs you to touch her. And if there's anyone that knows what pain is like, it's the pain you experienced nailed to that cross for 6 hours. Suffering and dying for us. And when I said that about Jesus, she spoke up. And she said, no, Jesus, no, Jesus. My pain is nothing compared to the pain that you suffered for me. And I know that came not out of her head where she, all the emotions and the pain is being felt. But her focus went off of her pain onto his sacrificial death on the cross. And the pain, my pain, it's real, but it's nothing compared to the pain that you suffered on the cross for me. And the moment that shift came, there's something about getting the shift off of ourselves and onto him. And here's how that works. The Bible said we're to lay aside every sin and weight that does so easily beset us and run with patience. Perseverance is the word that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author, the finisher of our faith. Now, at that point, you think he's just going to encourage me to come on. You can do it. I'm with you. Come on. Looking to him to help us. But listen to the rest of it. You've got to get your mind off of you, your pain, your pressure, and your hurt. You've got to look away from it.
Amen.
And look to him and what he suffered for you on the cross. Otherwise, your focus will come off of him and onto yourself. And then you're in a pickle. Then you're in big trouble. Would you like to hear it in context? Listen to it carefully. Lay aside every sin and the weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you, and run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Here's how you're to look. Next verse. Consider him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against himself. Where did that occur? When did that occur? When he was paying our sin debt on the cross. When you get your mind and your focus off of your problem, your pressure, your pain, my problem, my pressure, my pain, and the pain he took in my behalf on the cross, it sure does make me want to praise him in spite of my pain. And not wait until my pain is gone, but begin to praise him in the midst of any pain I may be suffering. I fell at work when I was bivocational, fractured a rib, and every time I took a breath, it expanded and put pressure on it. And they gave me some kind of real good pain medication, and it did not help what I was going through. And I remember getting down on my hands and knees praying. And the thing that I thought of was him on the cross. And I thought, this little fracture is causing me such pain. I have to breathe, and I want to hold my breath and not breathe, because when it expands my rib cage, and that puts pressure and it causes intense pain. And that pain didn't go away. But I began to thank Him. I thought, Lord, because I could just see Him on that cross. And I could see Him pushing up to get a breath. And when He pushed up, His back from the beating He had took was already tore up. He said in Psalm 22, He quoted it, "My bones." He said it on the cross, "My bones stare out of me." Yeah. It had tore the flesh from His rib cage, and you could see two or three of His rib bones. That's how. And yet when He pushed up on that rough wood of that cross, yeah, and pulled up with nails and pushed up with His feet because He was suffocating, and yet while being suffocated, if He don't do it, it's like drowning without water. And He began to say some things, yeah, like, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Can you imagine in that pain and suffocation, pushing up and then relaxing, but then suffocating, pushing up 6 hours. 6 hours on the cross in unrelenting agony. When I am tempted to get so down thinking about me and my pressure, my pain, my problem, that I do not have a praise for Him, then I see how really selfish I am. And I see how unappreciative am I to what He went through. And I feel deeply convicted. And yet I find myself, time after time, finding myself looking at me and who did me wrong and who broke my heart and who hurt me here and who failed me there. And I have to come back to Calvary. Come back to the cross. Come back to realize what He suffered for me. Amen. Consider Him that suffered such a great contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your own mind. Can you say amen? Looking unto Jesus, looking away from all that will distract, and especially ourself. It's part of denying ourself, taking up our cross and following Him. Amen. But I was proud of my wife because something had been sown in her spirit that if it just came out of her mind, she wouldn't have. It came out of her spirit. Amen. And that shows what was in her spirit. Amen. And I was proud of her.
You have to know God.
You have to know God well enough. Yeah. And you have to consider Him. Amen. Gather us from among the heathen. That's what we're part of the gathering right here. Gather us from among the heathen that we might praise Your name, that we might give thanks unto Your name, and that we might glory in Your praise, literally triumph in Your praise. Have you ever heard that word before around Christmas? Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant. What does it mean to triumph in His praise? Amen. Triumph is not getting a victory. Triumphing is celebrating a victory that is already won. Amen. Celebrating a victory that is already won. Jesus got the victory so He could give us the victory. And the way we tap into that victory He's granted us, amen, is to triumph in His praise. To celebrate victory even when we feel defeated. Yeah. Because Christ gives us the victory. I've got to hurry, and it won't take me long to hurry. because we want time to fellowship and enjoy this. But I was asked to speak at a Church of God in South Carolina. And because a man that went there had a ministry to nursing homes, and he took VHS tapes of our Sunday morning service, because he wasn't a preacher. He played it on their television for those people in the nursing home. Then he gave the invitation after I preached there. He said, "Pastor Venable, you know you're preaching in a nursing home in Carolina." I said, "I had no idea, but I'm glad to hear it. Praise God."
Amen.
And he said, "People came to the Lord." So we were working together. I brought the word. He made the invitation. All of us, one plants, one waters. God gives the increase.
Amen.
So his pastor, he told him about me. And Holy Church of God, you know, is part of Independent Assemblies of God International, not part of the denomination. So I think he assumed that I was a Church of God preacher. So he invited me to come to Carolina and preach in his church. And I thought, well, this man goes there. And Pamela and I said, "This is a good chance for us to take a trip and do business for the King." We got in the motel, checked in. I checked and made sure I had me a suit and tie that matched. And I'm going to preach in the Church of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I got a call at 10 o'clock at night, I believe it was. And the guy said, "I talked to my pastor called me and said he's not part of the Church of God organization. So he can't come and preach, I'm sorry to tell you. Scheduled for Sunday morning." And he said, "But don't worry. There's a little Pentecostal church." And I thought, I'm going to be right at home now.
Yeah.
There's a little Pentecostal church. And I called their pastor and said, "You're welcome to come there." And I thought, well, God, you know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have to preach in the fancy church. I'll go preach in the little Pentecostal church.
Yeah.
But that wasn't as much fun as I thought that was going to be. Because while they were singing on Sunday morning, I heard two musicians say, "Are you coming back tonight?" Because I was supposed to preach that night for two nights. And said, "Are you coming back tonight?" He said, "No, I ain't coming back." He said, "I'm not coming back either." And I'm listening to something. Okay. You know, I'm not wanted in the Church of God. I'm not really cared about in the little Pentecostal church. I don't know what I'm doing up here in South Carolina. I want to go home to my church where they'll hug on me and love on me and support me and amen me.
Amen.
Amen. See, I told you. But I came back that night about half full of people. No musicians, no music, but half full of people. And a lady came for prayer. You know what? You know what scripture God gave me? It was in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 and 57. "Death is swallowed up in victory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
For you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord."
Amen.
And what I preached on as a theme on that scripture was a God-given victory. Thanks be unto God who what? Gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. And a lady came up for prayer. And when we begin to pray for people, she came up and she said, "I was in an automobile accident. In my neck, those bones were fused together. They can't operate and fix it. They're giving me pain medication, and it's getting to the point they cannot and will not give me anything stronger for the pain." And she said, she was so afraid, because she said, "I'm in pain now. I'm in pain every single day, and they can't give me anything else." Well, see, that's where we need a victory. That's where we need a breakthrough. That's where we need God to show up and show out.
Amen.
And I'd preached about a God-given victory. And you could feel faith rising in people.
Yeah.
Because it's God-given. We don't have to go out and get it. We have to receive it. And we have to triumph in His praise to celebrate a victory that is already won. How you get the victory is declaring victory that He has won in our behalf at the cross. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I laid hands on her and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we need a victory over this thing. We need a victory here tonight for this woman that's in pain. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray you will heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. And all of a sudden, she did a Pentecostal jerk. I don't know if your neck ain't out of shape, it could throw it out of shape if it's not under the anointing. The power of God hit her. Didn't come out of my hand. It's His hand laid on her. And she jerked like that, and there was a popping. I could hear it, a crackling sound. Sound like me when I get out of bed in the morning. Snap, crackle, and pop. But suddenly, she said, the pain is gone. I thought, well, we're not praying any further. God's done the work. Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen.
And then I began to figure it out. God didn't want me to go show out at the big church.
Amen.
And give them some sermon that would make them say, boy, as they said in Merritt Island, he can really shuck the corn. I never heard that, but that's a good compliment. I reckon if I can shuck the corn, I'm a good preacher. I didn't get to the prestige of preaching in a church full of people, but down in the little Pentecostal church, half full, there was a woman that needed a miracle. And that's why God sent your pastor to South Carolina. Praise God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, I'd rather see somebody healed and delivered, somebody set free, especially somebody come to Christ, than to preach in the biggest church, mega church that's ever been built. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I got a lesson from that. I said, Lord, you know what you're doing when I don't even know what you're up to. And it's okay. Whatever you do in my life, wherever door that you open, give me the grace to humbly and yet boldly walk through that door. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He gathered us from among the heathen that we might give thanks to His name. Never lose gratitude for what He's done for us. Hallelujah. And to triumph in His praise. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, every time we get some good praise song up here, I begin to hear things out here. Hallelujah. 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 Let's see how your hallelujah is working this morning. We did that back at Easter season. How's your hosanna? Have you still got your hosanna?
Amen.
Hallelujah. In the highest? How's your hallelujah? Let's give it a little. It's halo. It's one phrase. Every language of the earth, even heavenly beings, hallelujah with an A, hallelujah, the halo, hallelujah. That last part is Jah. Praise ye Jah. Praise the Lord. And there's a reverential hallelujah that's kind of whispered from our heart. The fear of the Lord is expressed in it. And it literally means deep reverence with awe and affection.
Amen.
So it's not this that separates us from God. It's that draws us to Him, but with deep reverence. Praise God.
Amen.
But there's another form of hallelujah. And it's the shout of victory. And it's in the Hebrew. It is the word ruah. And that's the word that was used when Joshua told the children of Israel, shout, ruah. You can almost hear that kind of praise. Ruah just sounds like it.
Yeah.
Hey, ruah.
Yeah.
Did a funeral for a veteran. I don't know, Marines, Army. Army showed up instead of Marines. I knew the phrase, I believe, and I didn't want to get it wrong because I didn't want to get beat up by Marines, can you say, after the service. So we were talking about praising God and in the funeral, and I wanted to involve those people that came for a serviceman. And I said, as you say, and I don't know if I'm going to get it right today. Any Marines here? Any Army here? Okay, I'm safe. But I believe the Army was oorah. Oorah. One of their, you know, exuberant battle cry, hoorah. And I think the Marines was hoorah, or vice versa. But it sounds like ruah to me from the old covenant.
Yeah.
Shout, ruah, for God has given you the city. Uh-huh. And what happened when they praised God in that shout of praise? The walls fell down flat. No wonder the devil wants to cancel your ruah when you're going through it. The last thing he wants to hear you say to God is hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God with a ruah praise.
Hallelujah.
Loud and powerful and forceful.
Yeah.
Because if you do, some wall is going to fall.
Amen.
That has been holding victory back in your life.
Amen.
So you ought to, the challenge today is praise Him when you feel like
Amen.
It. And praise Him especially when you don't.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, how can I do that? You can do it by getting your eyes off of you and considering Him that died for you and say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Anyhow, hallelujah.
Amen.